Welcome to the Church of Quell Creek podcast, a ministry of the Church of Quell Creek in Amarillo, Texas. Dive in with us as we open God's words and then stick around for a message from our pastor.
Last week, y'all kind of finished out on the plagues. You heard of the Passover. You heard of how God was going to move, and today we're going to talk about that movement out of Egypt. I want you to know something about that movement, though. For everybody in this story, they are going to move out of a place that was home. Now, I want to categorize this correctly for you so that you understand that Egypt and this imprisonment was all they knew. They've been imprisoned here, and now they're leaving captivity, something that God promised to his people, and will now be wandering into a desert that is not theirs. They will leave homes they built. They'll leave really what seems like imprisonment. They cried out to God for it, but also that was home. They grew up and saw generations now in captivity. They've known nothing else. They were promised a future. They can remember a past because of their forefathers, but it is something they have never lived in before. It's unknown. It's both exhilarating and terrifying all in one. There's a book that I believe that every Christian, and there's numerous books, but one in particular I think every Christian that's a follower of Christ should read once in their life. And it's The Hiding Place by Corrie ten Boom. I think every Christian should find a copy and read it. It talks so much about how to follow Jesus in unknown moments, how to worship him when it doesn't feel like you need to. It is such a treasure of a book. And in this, Corrie writes this sentence that has stuck with me for most of my life. And it is this: never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. I want to read that again to you. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. This is what God's people would have to do as they wandered into the wilderness. They're going to have to trust in an unknown future because they have a God that is known amongst them. The end of chapter 13 of Exodus, you see that the people of God, the children of God, would start to leave. Pharaoh would relent. They would begin to leave, and with it, they took the plunder of Egypt. And so they're leaving out, and it says that as they traveled, we get some geographic, but in verse 21, this is not on the screen, but we get this moment, verse 21, maybe it will be. Guys, if you'll throw up 13:21, it says, "The Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of a cloud to lead them on their way during the day, and a pillar of fire to give them light at night so they could travel day or night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night never left its place in front of the people." They were having to trust an unknown future to a known God that was always before them. Amen. You know, I would like for us to believe that we would follow God more diligently if when we woke up in the morning, there was that cloud. That we would instinctively go, "Oh, nothing can go bad. I'm just going to follow the cloud. And at nighttime, it's going to turn to fire and I'll follow him then. And everything in my life is going to be hunky-dory." I don't even know. Is that a real statement, hunky-dory? It is today. Write it down. Everything's going to be great. I'll just follow him and I will be great because God will show up like that. I want you to know something. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, because he rose from the grave, he did something when he ascended into heaven that's better than the cloud and fire. He gave us the Holy Spirit who dwells in us so that when we wake up every day, it's already in us to drive us, to equip us, to lead us. So lest we forget, the people of God are going to ask questions even though there's a cloud and a fire. So before we go, "Oh, if God did that for me, I'd follow him everywhere." No, you wouldn't. Neither would I. We would complain. You know why we're going to complain? Because we have needs. We're hungry. Some of y'all are hungry already, and you're praying, Lord, let the pastor preach a short one today, Jesus. The hamburger's sounding really good. Cloud and fire led the people through Egypt, not Moses. But still they complained. Did you lead us out here so that we would die? You? Did they forget there's a giant cloud right there? Did they forget that at nighttime it was night bright? Because there's the fire in front of them, yet they go to this man, Moses, and go, you're the guy that brought us out here. You led us to die. This is why God will move in certain ways that may seem astounding to us in Exodus. It's why God shows up in such powerful ways. And God is about to do something that all of these people will never forget. In Exodus chapter 14, in verse 5, it says this, when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about the people and said, what have we done? We've released Israel from serving us. So he got his chariot ready and took his troops with him, and he took 600 of the best chariots and all the rest of the chariots in Egypt with officers in each one. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the Israelites who were going out defiantly. The Egyptians, all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots, his horsemen and his army, chased after them and caught up with them as they encamped by the Sea of Pi-Hathoroth in the front of Baal-Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians coming after them. The Israelites were terrified and cried out to the Lord for help. I want to stop here for a second. What is leading them? It's daytime. There is a cloud, a literal pillar of cloud leading them. Moses can't do this. Aaron doesn't have the ability. Who is providing the cloud? God is providing the cloud. But what do they do when they see Pharaoh? Are you sure you led us the right way, God? Any of y'all ever remember the time when we didn't have our phones to tell us where to make turns? Those are the days where you had to trust a spouse or your children. I can remember driving as a student pastor and having to listen to a student. I praise the Lord, I lived in the days where I could print the turns. And I'd have to tell the student next to me, you have to tell me when the turn's coming up. They'd be like, we got you. They never got me. We would be driving and they'd go, oh, that was our exit. That tests your faith, right? You want to look at that kid and go, get out. I'm not taking you to youth camp. You need more than youth camp can give. In this moment, the people are questioning, is God good when circumstances seem bad? It's the same question we're asking today. We love to worship God when it's good. We celebrate God when it's good. In fact, you may like to worship more of God when it's good for you. Your bank account's good. Your car got here without needing gas that day. You know, I believe it's easier to worship as your pastor today because it's going to be warm outside. Because you know what my staff is doing today? Praising the Lord that it's not 15 degrees and our heater's not working right. By the way, did you know that we actually do know that the building is cold? Anyways, I just thought y'all should know that. It's a reminder to us that y'all don't believe it. But we, in fact, do agree with you. When the building is cold, we feel it as well. Praise the Lord for Craig and Scott, oh my word. We were out this past weekend and it was cold outside. And I was watching the services and I heard them say, we had some people out here to fix the heat this morning. And I went, oh, for the fourth or fifth week in a row. Those guys get up here early and they walk our building so that when you go to worship in life group, you don't complain. Pillar of cloud by day, fire by night. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, it's cold in this building. Send that pillar right now, Jesus. So that when the people walk in and they feel it's cold, they'll be like, but he's here. So I'm reminded of something before we finish reading the text. The rest of Exodus is going to be a battle. Not over Pharaoh's, but it's going to be a battle of, can you trust God? And I want you to know, as we read through Exodus and as we see God move the way he does, and God continuously moves through Exodus, continuously, like physically moves the people. And like the very next chapter, they go, but Moses, you led us here. I mean, we saw God do that yesterday, but today's a new day and we don't trust you. I believe this is the same question you're going to wake up on Monday with. Can I trust God to lead me at work? Can I trust God to make me a pillar at school to share Christ with others? Can God lead me and equip me to be the person I should be in the culture that God's put me into? So the Israelites look up, and it says in verse 11, they said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done by bringing us out of Egypt? Isn't this what we told you in Egypt? Leave us alone so we can serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. But Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. Stand firm and see the Lord's salvation that he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you must be quiet. Amen. Moses doesn't know how God is going to move. He just knows he's going to move. Amen. I want you to hear that one more time today, because I hope this marinates in your soul today. Moses didn't know how God was going to move. He's told him other times, this is what I'm going to do. He has not told Moses, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to part the water, so just watch. Instead, he said, lead my people out. But instead, Moses sees the pillar, and he trusts it. That is God on the move. Watch what he does. Be quiet. I think sometimes when our emotions are high and our pressure seems so much, and we're having trouble trusting God, that the best thing you and I can do is silence ourselves and listen to him. Because a lot of times we're going to find ourselves making our own way out. I'm sure there had to have been people that went, maybe we can swim. Maybe we should turn and fight. Maybe we should wave the white flag and surrender and go, listen, we left. We shouldn't have. We're yours. Moses is saying, God led us here. God's going to lead us out. Silence yourself and watch. You ever been in a movie theater and the person in the row in front of you decides right in the middle of the movie to take that phone call? You know what I'm talking about. You look at them and you begin to pray, Lord, would this movie theater have ejection seats? I pray you would move upon them now, Lord. No? Okay. Lord, I know that you are God of everything, the planet, the oceans, the cosmos. Can you allow that cell phone tower to go down? In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. They stay on it. It's annoying. The people have been crying out to God, deliver us, and he has now. And now they're complaining that they've been delivered. And Moses is trying to tell them, God is not done. Be quiet. Amen. Verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? It's not like, again, he's like, do they not know that I'm here? This is what he says, tell the Israelites to break camp. As for you, lift up the staff. Now God's telling him what he's going to do. But he's told the people already, just wait. As for you, verse 16, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea. and divide it so the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. As for me, I'm going to harden the hearts of the Egyptians. So go in after them, and I will receive glory by means of Pharaoh, all his army, and his chariots, and horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I receive glory through Pharaoh's chariots and his horsemen. Remember what we talked about? Why God was doing the plagues he was doing? It was not only to answer their foreign worship, but it was to catch their hearts, to show them that he is the one true God. Amen. He is still doing this. I want the Egyptians to know that I am the God to trust, and I will get the glory by this means. They will know that I am God. It says, then the angel of God who was going in front of the Israelite forces moved and went behind them. The pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and stood behind them. It came between the Egyptian and the Israelite forces. There was a cloud and darkness, and it lit up the night, and neither group came near the other all night long. Awesome. This is awesome. God goes, you don't think I got you? Let me show you. Boom. And the Egyptians went, that's new. Let's just wait. It'll pass. And God's saying, do you not know that I'm the one that brought you out? That you are my people? Yes. Says, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord drove the sea back with a powerful east wind all that night and turned the sea into dry land. So the waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with waters like a wall to them on their right and their left. And the Egyptians set out in pursuit. All of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, his horsemen went into the sea after them during the morning watch. The Lord looked down on the Egyptian forces from the pillar of fire and cloud and threw the Egyptian forces into confusion. He caused their chariot wheels to swerve and made them drive with difficulty. Let's get away from Israel, the Egyptians said, because the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. God is starting his work, and even Pharaoh's forces are going, this is not right. I'm a good chariot driver. I drive better than this. And it's not happening. Something's in the way. It's God. Let's get away from the Lord. Verse 26 said, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may come back on the Egyptians, on their chariots and their horsemen. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea returned to its normal depth while the Egyptians were trying to escape from it. The Lord threw them into the sea. The water came back and covered the chariots, the horsemen, plus the entire army of Pharaoh that had gone after them into the sea. Not even one of them survived. But the Israelites had walked through the sea on dry ground with the waters like a wall to them on their right and their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the power of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. When Israel saw the great power of the Lord used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and believed in him and in his servant Moses. That sentence, every time I read it, makes me go, that's what it took? Not the plagues, not leaving Egypt, not the pillar of cloud, and then fire by night? That's what it took? We would have believed, right? From the get-go, we'd have been like, oh, no. I believe that God is delivering us. Not when your kids were hungry. Not walking into a land that you don't own anything at, that you left your house behind. I mean, you and I, we would have been the good ones. We'd have been the ones going, I trust God completely in this moment. Because I see the pillar of cloud, so I believe God led us out. That would have been us, right? Like the sea wouldn't have changed our faith at all. We'd have been like, no, I already trusted God. That was just cool. That was like, that was a side note. God is still great. That would have been us, right? Me and you? We wouldn't have been the ones that, like, a couple of chapters later go, I'm literally dying of hunger. My kids haven't drank anything in a week. That wouldn't have been us, right? We'd have been like, no, I'm still trusting God. Still pillar of cloud, pillar of fire by night. That, right? I think sometimes when I read this passage, when I read through Scripture, I go, that wouldn't have been me. I'd have believed God the whole time, except There's times in my life where I go, God, where are you at in this moment? Why didn't you do this? I wanted you to do this and you did that instead. Where are you? As though he's not constantly around me. As though he's not constantly at work. I see God move in such powerful ways in my life. I still see God heal people in our church. I see God meet needs that don't make any sense whatsoever. And you just kind of go, okay, he still showed up. And in those moments, you know what it does to me? Strengthens my belief. Because I, and maybe this isn't you, but there's times I've got a lot of questions for God. As though he's not there. As though he didn't care. As though he's not moved before. But that's not you, right? You always believe he's there. You never have doubted. You've never questioned. See, we're on the same scenario, right? We're the same people, and it seems like we've never really changed. We'd like to all think that we're Moses, but we're not. You're you, and I'm me. And you and I, we desperately need a Savior. Amen. It's something we've needed all along. So read this passage. I want to give you some key things, and then we'll be done. First is God's provision is better than our planning. Amen. His provision is always better than our planning. Israel had an idea of how they would be rescued, but God had a better plan. His provision was great. When Moses tells the people, God knows what he's doing, just be silent. It reminds me of Psalms 46:10. Y'all know this passage. It says, stop fighting. Know that I am God, exalted among the nations, exalted on the earth. God wants us to stop fighting. Maybe yours says, be still. Don't let your belief in God move like waves. This is difficult. We wane at times, but we should strive in our faith to trust God, period. Those of y'all that have read Ernie Johnson's book, y'all remember that he's given a diagnosis of cancer and he sits across from his pastor at a diner and he's new in faith and he simply says, Pastor, what do you do when it's hard to trust God? And his pastor wrote on a napkin, trust God, period. And he goes, okay, trust God. He goes, no, you missed the period. You've said, trust God, maybe, with a question mark. I'm telling you to trust God, period. Amen. I believe this may be the hardest thing for Christians to do. Because I think we all want another pillar of cloud or a pillar of fire to believe. God, I will follow you if. As though the if is the value point. Instead, the mature Christian says, God, I will follow you, period. He's already done enough for us. He indwells us. He leads us. He equips us. He saved us, even from ourselves, even from the mirror in front of us. He is good enough in all moments of our lives to trust. When I was growing up, there was a song that we sang a lot, Trust and Obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to what? Trust and obey. Amen. I remember singing that as a kid, thinking that was the most simple song in history. But it may be the most difficult in practice. That's why we must strive in it. It's why we must work our salvation out with fear and trembling before God. It's why we strive daily to focus our attention in Scripture and in prayer and in worship and in fellowship together to equip one another, to hold each other accountable, to sharpen iron with each other. This is why we do these things. There's a pivotal point in Scripture. After Jesus has risen from the dead, he appears numerous times through Scripture. But in John 20, he's with the disciples, and there's Thomas, and he tells the disciples, listen, I know y'all have ran into him, but I don't believe it. Until I physically put my hand in his side and fill him. It's not real. And who shows up? Jesus. And what does he tell him? Have a way. Go ahead. Thomas goes, Lord, I apologize. I talk a lot. And he says, you're blessed because you've seen me, John 20:29. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Amen. I don't believe that Jesus owes anybody in this room a miraculous moment. I don't believe that Jesus has to drop down a chalkboard and write on it, I am here. He owes that to nobody. The work that he's done is completely good and holy. His death, burial, and resurrection, complete. He owes humanity nothing else. He's never owed humanity anything, but he gave it. So today, if you came and said, you know what, Kyle, I would follow Jesus if he would do this, let me just tell you something. He doesn't owe you a this at all. He's given you himself. He has given you hope and peace and love reserved in him through faith and belief in him. And today, to grow in faith, to mature as Christians, you and I have got to come to him trusting God, period. Amen. So today, let me ask you, church, if starting today, you never, ever again had the warm, tingly feeling of coming to church. Instead, you came in this room and it felt like work, and it felt like you gave so much effort and there was never a return on investment. Would you believe? I want you to know something. That is not how God works, by the way. God has given more than any effort you and I could ever give. And I believe that when you and I spend time with God daily and we enter this room weekly, you will start to experience him richly. Such that when you worship him and when you hear his word, it's like newness continuously in our lives. Amen. Only those that stop that process, it becomes monotony. But some of you are still praying that God would part waters in your life. And that if he would do that, you will worship him and follow him. Let me just remind you, the battle has never been yours. It's always been the Lord's. I'm asking you today exactly what Moses told his people. Watch and be silent. God is here. He's here. Be silent. Be here and be still before him. He is on the move and he desperately loves you. And he has made such a plan for your life. That he sent his one and only son, that whoever in this room would believe in him, you would be saved. Amen. While the world pushes you against a shoreline, he is the salvation that is always there. He was there before you got there, and he's going to be there afterward. Be still and watch. Amen. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I and some friends, we'd love to talk to you about that. It all comes through one simple motion, and it is not walking an aisle. It is not talking to a pastor. It's talking to God. Amen. We call that prayer, and you can do it right where you are. Wherever you may be, right now you can speak to God and simply say something as simple as, God, I am not prepared for heaven. But I want to be there, but the only way I can get there is if I get sin out of my life. And the Bible says we've all got sin in our lives, and God, I know that Jesus is the only thing that can forgive sins. So God, I believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and I believe what he said he'd do, he can do in my life. So I ask that you would come in and forgive my sin and lead me starting right now. Lord, would you do that? And you know what, church? He will. He'll do it right where you are, in your life right now. But it starts with belief. And it starts by believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. Why don't you do that right where you are? Would you just bow your head and close your eyes right where you are right now? Simply talk to God, just like I said, Lord, I've got sin in my life and I need forgiveness. And only Jesus can do that. So God, would Jesus just, right now, Lord Jesus, would you forgive my sins and lead my life? Right where you are, would you just simply ask for the cleansing that comes from him? Lord, would you cleanse me? Would you prepare me for my day ahead? I believe probably in this room there's people like me. We've prayed prayers like, God, if you would do this, I will do this. And today we need to say, Lord, forgive me for asking you to move when I will not. For asking you to move when you've always been at work. And Lord, forgive me when I haven't trusted you like I should. Lord, would you forgive me? Maybe today is a prayer like this, Lord, I have not lived out my faith like I should. And today I want you to come alive in my life like never before. Lord, lead me, equip me to go into a world with the hope of Jesus. Lord, would you lead me now? Whatever your prayer is, if you would like somebody to pray alongside you, that's why we'll be here. Here in a moment, I'm going to pray. We'll stand. We'll have a time of worship. I want to invite you to come talk to somebody, to have somebody come alongside you in your walk with the Lord. We want to do that with you. Lord Jesus, would you speak over my friends now, Lord? Would you equip us to obey you, to seek you? Lord, would you forgive us and lead our lives? Lord, we pray this in your holy and precious name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, this is Pastor Kyle. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you see the love that Jesus has for you by paying the price for your sins. I pray that if you haven't already, you would take the time right now to talk to Jesus and ask him to forgive your sins and lead your life from here on out. We would love to talk to you about Jesus and getting to know him better. Contact us by emailing us at info@tcqc.org. tcqc.org, or by finding us on social media. We would love to meet you. I hope you had a wonderful day, and as always, we would love for you to join us for worship really soon.